Translation of Prabhupada Bhashya Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and He maintains all for the ultimate happiness by His six transcendental opulences. May He be merciful towards me that I am as before, maybe that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Please repeat after me. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful toward me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world. And He maintains all for their ultimate happiness by six transcendental opulences. May He be merciful towards me that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create. For I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Purport. The Supreme Lord Purushottam, sorry, purport. The Supreme Lord Purushottam, or Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. He is the life and friend of all because there is eternally natural affection and love between the living entities and the Lord. He is the one friend and well-wisher for all, and He is one without a second. The Lord maintains all the living entities everywhere by His six transcendental opulences, for which He is known as Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma prayed for His mercy so that He might be able to create the universal affairs as He did before. Only by the Lord's causeless mercy could He create both material and spiritual personalities like Marichi and Narada, respectively. Brahma prayed to the Lord because He is very much dear to the surrendered souls. The surrendered soul knows nothing but the Lord, and therefore the Lord is very affectionate towards Him. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhutam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavavsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Mitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and He maintains all for their ultimate happiness by his six transcendental opulences. May he be merciful towards me, so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. So, this section of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma has advented on top of the lotus flower. He is confused, doesn't know what's happening. He's tried by his own efforts to try and find out. He climbed into the lotus stem, went all the way down, not all the way down, almost all the way down, yet couldn't figure anything out. He comes back up on the lotus flower, and then he hears the two syllables, tapa. He realizes it needs to meditate. He meditates for a very, very long time, and the Lord then gives darshan to him, and then he's offering prayers to the Lord. This is where we are. So this particular section, so in this chapter, many, many sort of prayers have been offered by Lord Brahma. And now this section, which is today's verse 22 to 25, is actually five specific requests by the Lord, by Brahma to the Lord, which is very interesting. So this text will, of course, as we read just now, he says, please empower me to create. And he says, create as before. Which means which kind of annihilation was this? It was a temporary one. It was at the end of Brahma's day, right? Because it's already created. That's why he says as before. This is the next day. Now, so the amazing thing is, Brahma's yesterday, he created, but he's already forgotten. He's asking the Lord again to give him the mercy to introspect and create again. So two things here. Number one, how can Brahma forget just in a day? We remember what we did yesterday. We were here all for the Gaur Purnima festival, had a wonderful festival, but Brahma forgot how to create. So two things. I suppose the Brahma is just in his humility is again asking the Lord to give him the empowerment to create. And maybe the other thing is that the Brahma's night, our night is 24 hours. Brahma's night is 1,000 chaturyugas, exactly. So of course it's a long time, and maybe it is likely that one would forget. So anyway, this is the prayer, 22, empower me to create. Then 23, I'm just going to go the four, three verses ahead. I know I'm stealing the thunder from the speakers who are going to speak later, but 23 will speak about protect me from false ego. Don't let me be carried away, because I can create, because you will give me the ability to create. I don't want to become proud. So protect me from false ego. Save me from deviation. Don't let me move from this path. And then please wake up and bestow your benediction onto. He says, please awake. The verse actually says, please wake up. But the meaning is, of course, please wake up. Please glance towards me and bestow your benediction by opening your eyes. So wonderful sort of request. This is a kind of template we can have for our prayers when we're praying to the Lord. We can pray to the Lord to sort of give us the empowerment to do our service properly, to then when we are successful and we're doing a nice service and perhaps we get some position within the temple, we pray to the Lord to please not to let me remain humble. Save me from deviation, of course, let me never ever leave your lotus feet, and always bestow your mercy unto me. So I think it's a nice sort of template for normal prayers. So, as usual, what I like to do is just dive into the purport and look at some of the sentences Prabhupada is saying, using, and then try and connect them back to something else that we've read in Shastra so that we can get sort of reconfirmation of what has been said here. Prabhupada says in the purport, the Supreme Lord Purushottama, Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. So when you hear this word, this term, both the transcendental and material worlds, which verse from the Bhagavad Gita comes to mind? Anybody? Exactly. Then I taham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matma bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. So I am the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know these engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So he is here in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says he is the creator. And of course, he is the maintainer also, as we know. Then Prabhupada continues. He says he's the friend and well-wisher of all, and he is one without a second. A friend and well-wisher. Again, very famous words from the Bhagavad Gita. Nor do you know aloud. Ananta Prabhu is an encyclopedia. His name is Ananta Achyuta Prabhu. One day, Govinda Prabhu and I were having a discussion, and we were just talking about him and his wonderful memory about verses. His name should have been Ananta Shloka Prabhu. So, what was the verse, anybody? Bhoktara, exactly, 529. This is the peace verse, right? Bhoktaram yagatapasham sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvaputanam gyatma mam shanti mrishti. He says, the person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary and of all sacrifice and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. And he says he's one without a second. Of course, we all know he's one without a second. What is the Sanskrit term that's often used for that? One without a second? You say something? Adi is the first. Adi means the first, the original. But one without a second? Who said that? Asam Urdvam. Very good. Excellent. Asam Urdvam. The Sandhi is Asam Urdvam. But Asam means, you can't compare him to anybody. Urdvam is there's nobody higher than him. So, again, continuing on the purport. The Lord maintains all the living entities everywhere by six transcendental opulences for which he is known as Bhagavan. So, what are the six opulences? Anybody? Let's do one by one. Fame. Knowledge. Beauty. Wealth. Power. Ashraya. Power or strength together. And renunciation. Perfect. Yeah. And this verse is in the Vishnu Purana. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya. Jnana vairagya yashaiva sannam bhagam itingana. Prabhupada quotes this verse quite often. Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma prayed for the Lord's mercy so that he might be able to create the universe as he did before. So from here we can see even Lord Brahma needs to pray for the mercy of the Lord. So nothing can be achieved materially or spiritually without the mercy of the Lord. So anything at all that we have to achieve, we need to have the Lord's mercy and his sanction. So Lord Brahma, as we said earlier, he went almost all the way down on the stem. He was endeavoring himself to try and find out. Let me try and find out what's going on here. But it shows that his endeavor alone wasn't enough. The mercy of the Lord was necessary for him to then know what his purpose was, and then also to learn how to create. So this is something that we also need to realize, that the two ingredients are always necessary together for anything to succeed. The two fingers, as in Dhammadalila, we talk about the two fingers, mercy, endeavor and mercy. So we should not just say that our endeavor, it will happen. No, unless, without the mercy of the Lord, nothing is possible. So this whole week, we've been listening to wonderful classes by wonderful devotees about the mercy, compassion of Lord Chaitanya And yesterday we all sort of celebrated the wonderful Gaur Purnima festival. Such a big turnout. So we need to be able to recognize where the mercy comes from. When we see the mercy, because mercy is there throughout the day. There are many, many times where you can actually be alert and spot the mercy of the Lord. Many times when I'm driving and have a near miss, I know especially that the Lord's been merciful to me. I was saved just by a whisker. In December, we were out doing big book distribution in Eastcote. And it was myself, my wife, and one other Mataji, we were going together, door to door. And then at one point, I was walking along, and suddenly I realized that my wife and the other Mataji, they had stopped somebody on the street just behind me, and they were talking to him. So I just stopped to look around to see if they needed my help or something like that. And I didn't realize I stopped on the middle of a side road. I was just crossing. The main road was this way, and I was just stopped in the middle of the road. I didn't realize I was in the middle of the road. I was so absorbed in what was going on there. And it was a side road, so it wasn't very dangerous. But then just as I realized, okay, they're finished and they're walking along, I turned to move. And just as I turned, a car zoomed by. The car, he turned very fast that corner. I was in the middle of the road. He just ran right past my nose. Now, if I turned just a second before that I did, it would have hit me so hard. And I was saying to my wife that even if the impact didn't kill me, the shock would have probably killed me, you know. But mercy, amazing mercy that I was saved just by a whisker like that. So like this, there are many, many times that we can recognize. The point is to try and recognize the mercy as it comes and thank the Lord every time. So yesterday in the class, Shonak Rishi was talking about mercy. I made a note of it, I forget, compassion and mercy. I thought about him, but now it's gone. It'll come back to me later. I forgot. I don't know why. It just came to my mind anyway. So, about mercy, compassion. One pastime came to mind from the Mahabharata as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam. That after the war in Kurukshetra, Krishna was returning back to Dwarka, would it be, right? So Dwarka. He was going back to Dwarka. And on the way, he came across the hermitage of Uttanga Rishi. Now, Uttanga Rishi is the son of Bhrigu Maharaj, Bhrigu Muni. Very, very powerful sage. Incredibly powerful sage. And he had been meditating a long time. And when Lord arrived there, Lord stopped there just to greet him. So he ended exchanges of words. He had been in meditation for such a long time that the whole Mahabharata war, Kurukshetra war, had passed him by. He had no idea this had happened because he was in meditation. So then he asked Krishna, "How are the Kurus? How are they all doing?" So Krishna then realized he doesn't know. So Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonita ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So Krishna told him that there was this huge war and almost all of them are gone. So this powerful Rishi, his reaction was strange. He got angry. He got angry at Krishna. He said, "How could you let this happen? You were there. How could you let this happen?" And he said, he had the audacity to say, "I'm going to curse you." See, some of these yogis are so powerful that they can actually curse. Even the Lord, he was saying, right? But Lord Krishna then tried to pacify him, and he showed him the Virata Rupa. This is the third time. Virata Rupa showed one, of course, in the battlefield to Arjun. Second time in assembly. In Yashoda in the assembly hall, right? With the Dhritarashtra and company. And this is the third time, Uttanga Rishi. He showed the Virata Rupa and also explained to him the Bhagavad Gita just like he did to Arjuna. And then explained to him that, look, this had to happen because all these kings were too proud and they were acting beyond their limit and they were becoming a burden on the earth. And that's what this war had to happen. And he was sort of pacified. And then the Lord, before leaving, asked him for a benediction. So Uttanga Rishi, he keeps traveling from one place to the other. He says, sometimes when I'm traveling, I get very thirsty. And sometimes there's no water around. So maybe give me the boon that when I'm thirsty, water will always be there. The Krishna says, Tathastu. Just think of me when you're thirsty and the water will come. So it was Uttanga, sorry. I'm saying Uttanga. Not Matanga Rishi, Uttanga Rishi. I start to be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think it was Uttanga. Would you know? No. Anybody else? There is Matanga Rishi as well, but this particularly is Uttanga Rishi. But I may be wrong. I'll check it up again. Right? Is it the same person? Maybe it's the same person. I don't know. Yeah. I read this pastime yesterday, and it was Uttanga. So I'm just saying Uttanga. Well, let's continue with Uttanga. So... where was I? Yeah, so he was walking along. Once he was traveling through a desert, and he suddenly felt very, very thirsty. And he remembered the boon. So he started to think about Krishna. And then, like a Shudra, very shabbily dressed, very dirty-looking person, he arrives, and he's got a dirty leather water bag that he's carrying under his arm. So he comes to the Rishi and he gives him the spout to say, here, drink. So Uttanga Rishi says, you know, I'm a high class Brahmana, right? I'm not thirsty, so I'm not going to drink. So this person says, please, have a drink. You know, the desert is very hot, have a drink. I don't want a drink. In the end, again, because it's anger, right? These people are very angry. He says, just go from here. I'm not hungry. So he left. But strange thing is, he just walked a few steps and he disappeared. Not just walked away, he just disappeared. So Uttanga Rishi, the Rishi thought, my God, this must be some special personality to have just disappeared like this. What have I done? Then he realized, oh my God, I'm supposed to be so learned and so advanced. I'm now sort of, I didn't realize I was on a bodily platform, right? Didn't know who it was. And he was lamenting. And just then, the Supreme Lord arrives. And he gets angry at him again. He said, what is this? If you send me water, send me properly. Well, how come? Is it right for you to send the water to me with this dirty Shudra? And you made me make this offense. He's angry at Krishna. Krishna says, look, actually, when you were thinking of me for water, I was with Indra. And I requested Indra to take some amrit, nectar. You were asking for water, but I was going to send you, by mercy, I was going to send you nectar. So I was going to send you nectar. But Indra said, no, nectar is not for the people on earth. Nectar is only for people who are in the higher planets. But Krishna, no, please, this is a very nice devotee of mine. I give him a boon, please take his. Okay, fine, I'll take him the amrit, only under one condition, if I can test him. Okay, fine, you can test him. So this was a test. Indra was testing you, and you failed. So here, you can sometimes the mercy comes in different ways, but we can't see it. So... that is the Rishi. That also reminds me about, often devotees have mentioned this, they say that there's a person running really late for a meeting, a very important meeting, and he's running late, but he's driving, and he's sitting in the middle of London, no parking anywhere. He's going round and round the roads, can't find any parking, starts praying, Krishna, please, 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 Krishna, let me find a parking space because really I'm going to be late. If I'm late for this meeting, it's going to cost me so much. Please let me find a parking space. He goes around and then suddenly he goes around the same street and he sees the car pull out. Oh, Krishna, don't worry now. I found the space. He doesn't realize it's Krishna's mercy that he found it. He thinks he found it. So this is, we have to just be alert that everything is happening not because of our... So the Lord's always showering His mercy. I was listening to a class from Bhakti Charu Maharaj yesterday. He was talking about how daily you can think about when you wake up, the fact that we are able to now again wake up and carry on and we are not disappeared from this body. We thank Him every day. We thank Him for the sun, which provides everything that we need on this earth. You're thanking for the water that He is giving us, without which we can't. We're thanking for the oxygen that's around, without which we cannot breathe, right? How amazingly the Lord has created the system. He says we intake oxygen and give out carbon dioxide. If that continues all the time, eventually there'll be a time when there'll be no more oxygen and we'll be all sort of dying off of suffocation. But Krishna arranged in such a way that we take in oxygen, give out carbon dioxide. He's created plants and trees that do the reverse. So we're getting a constant supply of oxygen from the plants and trees. Wonderful arrangement. So this is all wonderful things that we need to keep thinking about. And in terms of thanking for the mercy, Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example. Many, many times he would say, whenever somebody would praise him for all his success in establishing ISKCON and so many temples, he would always say, "It's nothing to do with me. This is the mercy of my spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. Without them, I cannot do anything." So, and devotees, they even see any reverses in life as mercy, isn't it? Whatever happens, if I have an accident today, whatever's happened has happened, but there must be some plan, a bigger plan that Krishna is putting me through this. Always look at it that way. So in the verse here, another important part of this verse is surrender. In the verse, "I'm also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to you, to the Lord." So the Brahma is saying that I'm also, so this concept of surrender, sometimes it's very difficult, isn't it? So new devotees is very difficult. You know, to become a servant, to surrender, these things, these concepts are hard. Once I was reading an article in the Back to Godhead magazine a few years ago with this Mataji, who's of course a devotee now, but she was saying that when I came, one of the most difficult things for me to accept this thing about surrender. Because what we learn, when we first come to ISKCON, very early on, the first verse you will learn is Sarva Dharman Paritajya Mamekam. Surrender, surrender, right? And she says the reason I found it very difficult is because I grew up with my elder brother, who was a bit of a bully. So my siblings would sometimes just mock fight, right? And he says he would always, because he was stronger than me, he would trap me in a position with my arm lock or something, and he would say to me, "Say surrender. Without that, unless you say that, I'm not going to let you go." And he says, I grew up with that, right? So for me, surrender is a bad word. So, but like that, many, many people think about surrender and they think, why should I surrender? Why should I become a servant? We're all accustomed to trying to lord it over everything, right? So we don't want to surrender to anything. And now I remember what Shonagrisi was saying about this. He was saying surrender actually can be fearful, because surrendering to somebody, which means you're giving up your independence and relying on him. Surrendering, in our case, for example, is to actually give up all the things that we've been used to. You know, going out to restaurants, eating whatever we wanted to eat, all that. So all those things are quite frightening for somebody who comes first. So this is why surrender can be frightful in the beginning. And then once we understand how it's all supposed to work, and we are surrendering to, we are surrendered anyway. We surrender to our boss. We surrender to our husbands or our wives. We are surrendered to our children also. So why not surrender to the Supreme Lord? So, and then there's a beautiful section in the seventh chapter, Bhagavad Gita, where surrender, there's lots of my notes, so I'm just going to skip a few because time's running away. Seventh chapter, whole section of verses which are beautiful about surrender. 7:14, Krishna says, ದೈವಿಹೇಷ ಗುಣಮಯಿ ಮಮ ಮಾಯಾ ದುರತಿಯ ಮಾಮೇವ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯಂತೆ ಮಾಯಾ ಮೇತಾಂ ತರಂತಿತೆ. ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಓವರ್ಕಮ್, ಬಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಡ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ಮೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕ್ರಾಸ್ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸಿಲಿ, ರೈಟ್? ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗೋಸ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಸರೆಂಡರ್, ಹೂ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೂ ಸರೆಂಡರ್. 7:15 ಹಿ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಸರೆಂಡರ್. ನಮಾಮ್ ದು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮೂಢ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯಂತೆ ನರಾಧಮ ಮಾಯಾ ಪರಿತ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಆಸುರಂ ಭಾವಂ ಆಶ್ರಿತ. ಸೊ ದೋಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಕ್ರೀನ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಗ್ರೋಸ್ಲಿ ಫುಲ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ ಕೈಂಡ್, ಗ್ರೋಸ್ಲಿ ಫುಲಿಶ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಲೋವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಹೂಸ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಹಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ಸ್ಟೋಲನ್ ಬೈ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಪಾರ್ಟೇಕ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಏಥೀಸ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೀಮನ್ಸ್. ದೀಸ್ ಫೋರ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಆರ್ 7:16 ಚತುರ್ವಿಧ ಭಜನೆ ಮಾಂ ಜನ ಸುಖಿತನ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಆರ್ತೋ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸುರ್ ಅರ್ಥಾರ್ಥಿ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಚ ಭರತ ಸಭ. ಸೊ ಓ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಭರತರ್ಸ್, ಫೋರ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪಾಯಸ್ ಮೆನ್ ಬಿಗಿನ್ ಟು ರೆಂಡರ್ ದಿ ಪೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ಮೀ, ದ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್ಡ್, ದಿ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ದ ಇನ್ಕ್ವಿಸಿಟಿವ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಸರ್ಚಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಆಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್. ಸೊ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಫೋರ್, ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಫೋರ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಲೇಟ್ ಟು, ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ ಫೋಟ ಓಕೆ, ದ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್, ಹೂ ವಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆನ್ ವೆನ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಪ್ರೇಸ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್? ಹಾಂ, ಕ್ವೀನ್ ಕುಂತಿ, ಯೆಸ್ ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಬಟ್ ಜನ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ. ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಪ್ರೇಡ್. ದೆನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್, ದೆನ್ ವಾಸ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್, ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ದೇ ವಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್? ಧ್ರುವ, ಎಕ್ಸಾಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ವಿಸಿಟಿವ್, ಸೌರಿಕ ರಿಷಿ, ಜನರಲಿ ರಿಷೀಸ್ ನಮಿ ಸರಣಿಯ, ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್? ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್, ಸರ್ಚಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್, ಫೋರ್ ಕುಮಾರಸ್, ಎಕ್ಸಾಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು, ಯಾ, ಗ್ರೇಟ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹೌ ರೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ? 7:19 ಬಹುನಾಂ ಜನ್ಮ ನಾಮಂತೆ ಜ್ಞಾನವಾನ್ ಮಾಂ ಪ್ರಬದ್ಯತೆ ಸುತುರ್ಲಭ. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು. ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಮೆನಿ ಬರ್ತ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೆತ್ಸ್, ಹಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇನ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ಮೀ, ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಬಿ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಕಾಸಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ 8:30 ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ, ಬಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಫಿನಿಶ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ಯಾರಬಲ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಬೈಬಲ್, ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ಯಾರಬಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಫಾದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟೂ ಸನ್ಸ್, ದ ಪ್ರೊಡಿಗಲ್ ಸನ್. If I heard it a long time ago, but if I get it wrong, you can correct me, right? So there, Jesus is giving an analogy, and he's saying to somebody that there's a father with two sons, rich father with a big farm, very loaded. But he had two sons, and the younger son, he said to the father that, okay, after you pass away, do I inherit half of your wealth? He said, yes, you do. Okay, can I have it now? So why? He said, no, I don't want to wait. I won't have it now. So the father tried to convince him. Said, look, wait, you know, you don't need, you're too young. No, no, no. You can't handle all this money. No, no, no. You know how it is. In the end, Zid, the father gives in. And he gives him the money. This boy goes. He goes far away somewhere. And he spends the money as he likes. As people win the lottery and how they go crazy. He just spent the money in his sense gratification, finished all the money, and then he had nothing. He didn't want to come back. He stayed there, and he begged first for a little while. Then there was famine, unfortunately for him. There was famine, and there was nothing. He was starving. He ended up taking a job in a pigsty, looking after the pigs and feeding the pigs. Now remember, he's the son of a very wealthy farmer, right? But he's doing this. And the farmer is so strict, he's treating him very badly, giving him more little morsels to eat. And he's thinking, I wish I could eat what the pigs are eating. They're eating better than me, right? And then suddenly he thinks, actually, I must go back to my father. I'll go back, and I will not go back as his son. I will go to him, and I will just serve him, because I've committed the offense now, wasting his money. I'll just go back and just serve. And he's worried, if I go back, will he even accept me? Because I rebelled against him, and I wasted his money. What will happen? So he goes back. Now it says in this case that when the father sees this son approaching, this is after a few years, right? The father is an old man, but he runs. He runs towards him and gives him a big hug. So Krishna, we've all like that prodigal son, aren't we? We're all like that. We have left Krishna. We've left his abode and come back to enjoy ourselves separately. So Krishna, when we do decide to go back and we surrender to him, Krishna will be there with open arms waiting for us. And that wonderful picture comes to mind of Gop Kumar coming back and Krishna giving him a hug, right? So Krishna is there. Oh, that's right. I forgot that part. Yes.
He was, he invited everyone.
Yes.
So he was so happy.
Somebody to turn that down.
Yeah. So he threw a big party.
Yes.
Party for
correct. That was better, I think. So you got. Thank you very much. He threw a party for the son, and then the elder son got jealous. He says, "I'm with you here all the time. And you don't even treat me like this." No, your son comes, he's wasted all your money, he disobeyed your instructions, and you're throwing a party for him. And he says in that party, because these farmers, they actually have some special pigs who are really well fed, and they are for special occasions. And they got this real pig to be served on this occasion. And he says, "You have done this to him, and what about me?" That the father said, "The thing is, he was lost. You've been here with me and you've been serving nicely with me, which is very appreciated. But here is a lost soul who came back. So we should appreciate him more." Is that right?
Yeah.
So there you go. So we should all look forward to going back and be surrendered. I will stop here. Please, any questions, any corrections? Hare Krishna. Sorry, Namodha Prabhu, I'm sorry, you raised your hand. The microphone? Just wait for the microphone, because what happens is people on.
As you mentioned about the jealous part as well. Sorry, no, I didn't. I was just going to mention about the jealous son as well.
Oh, jealous, okay, thank you. Yes, yeah. It's a wonderful, nice one. Any other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu, that microphone back there, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the call. I think I missed the point of, in purport, Prabhupada mentions how the Lord maintains all the living entities by his six opulences. So can you describe more about like how Krishna maintains everyone by six opulences?
So Krishna, of course, Krishna's power is, we mentioned the six opulences, right? So Krishna has all that 100%, 100%, Krishna, Prabhupada would say 100%, right? He's got it in all. But by his mercy, he will give us a little bit for us to then maintain ourselves, right? So he'll give us some opulence, he'll give us some strength. Everything we have is coming from him. So he will maintain us by giving us those limited things so we can carry on and live in this world. So any opulence we have is from Krishna by his mercy. Any strength we have is from him. Any fame we have is from him. So this is how he maintains with those.
Is that the same in the spiritual world?
Like the spiritual world, they all actually not in the need of these things, but they're with Krishna. They want nothing else. It's only we want these things. Spiritual world, they're completely in bliss. They don't need anything. They just want Krishna. Krishna, I want to serve you, and that's all. Whether I'm famous or not, I'm strong or not, I'm happy or not, doesn't matter. I'm with you. That's what matters. Sorry, Shivas Prabhu first and then.
I got a call from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur on surrender.
Okay.
So what is the mentality of a surrendered soul? An unalloyed devotee of the Lord accepts all the Lord's arrangements without argument. Displaying impatience about the Lord's arrangements proves that one lacks faith and desires material enjoyment. Devotees are not concerned whether the Lord's mercy seems like punishment, cruelty or wealth, because they are fully surrendered to the Lord. No amount of material inconvenience can distract them from their surrender or from accepting the Lord as their maintainer. The Lord is the ultimate seer of everything, but various obstacles impede the vision of a conditioned soul. By expressing displeasure or restlessness with the Lord's arrangements, one suddenly imbibes inauspiciousness. The surrendered devotees have no concept other than to engage constantly in Lord Hari's service by being pleased to accept the Lord's arrangements.
Thank you so much. Very relevant to what we're discussing. Thank you so much. Which book is that? Oh, very nice. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Wonderful class, Prabhu, for me. Rishi, he judged this when Indra came, yes, as Sudra. So, you know, I've been coming to temple and so forth for quite a while now, and so thinking, oh, I'm a devotee, this, that. So then at the at NHS where I work, we did this one course, it was just like an hour course called Unconscious Bias.
Okay.
That we all have some bias deep down that we're not aware of. Mm. And then when I just was sort of asked to slightly think about, what do you think if you see this person come in an interview, or a person dressed like this, or a person of this faith? I was like, oh my God, I have so many biased.
Yes.
Yeah. That was just one comment. You can expand. But I just had one question also, that in the word for word, it also says Krishna is the friend and philosopher. Huh. And I've also heard this before, the word, the Lord being referred to as a philosopher. Have you got any thoughts on that, please?
Good point. No, I don't actually. Philosopher. The Lord, of course, is the supreme philosopher. That is the case, of course. He is the supreme philosopher. But anything, anybody else throw some light on this? He's a friend and a philosopher.
Or even a philosopher, if you
can
say anything about that.
Yeah. Anybody? Not something that we would need to look at. Maybe some homework.
Maybe it's that the Lord knows things from certain different angles.
Yes. Yes, that could be it. The Lord, like I say, is a supreme philosopher, and he will be able to look at things, your situation, in different angles, I suppose, right? And make it right when you surrender. I'll give you the intelligence to surrender. But thank you. Thank you for raising that. Thank you. Anybody else? No. Mataji has been very quiet today. Hare Krishna.
Tarana
Prabhu. Yeah, yes.
Just thought coming to my mind, in regarding or being philosopher, there are many instances when Krishna speaks, either assembly and he speaks philosophies, quoting some philosopher's authority, or for example, Lord Chaitanya, when he speaks with Sanatana Goswami, even other, you know, great devotees, he's always quoting some philosophy.
Yeah.
Or even quote Jayadeva Goswami's books, which are kind of more rasa. So in that sense, philosopher means, although he is author of all philosophy, but he kind of quotes, authorized philosophies.
Yes.
So in that sense, you know, although he's author of it, everything, but
he's authority,
he follows his authority, like he follows authority. Mahajana, Jaina, also does.
He does.
So in that sense, philosophy.
That's true, yes. He does it to give example to us that we need to follow that. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Granth Rajma Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.